One has to be able to look at a Perek and Tanakh and face it. I'll explain exactly what I mean. The Navi Yeshayahu is going to speak out in very sharp, strong, biting terms against the sins of the Jewish people, and most specifically the leadership in Yerushalayim. Years ago, when I was a Rosh Yeshiva in Toronto, I taught Yeshayahu, and up until this day, I can come to Toronto and walk into a restaurant, and somebody there who's a grandfather is going to start, Rabbi Gold, Hoi, Goi, Choite, Am, Keved, Avon, Zera, Medeim. I'm saying the fourth pasuk of this Haftorah, where Yeshayahu rails against this sinning people, Am Keved Avon, a people that are heavy with sin, Zera Mereim, seed that is evil, Bonim Mashchisim, sons that are corrupt, Ozvu et Hashem, they have forsaken God, Niatsu, they have rejected the Holy One of Israel, Nozoru Achor, they have turned backwards. What a pasuk. Pasuk 4 I just read. Pasuk 4. So for years I took what could be called in some sense the Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev approach. I mean, this is one of the most difficult, sharpest psukim of attack on the Jewish people by Yeshayahu. I don't remember everything he said, but it sort of came like, "Hoi goi, a nation chote." The word chote means not only sin, but chote also means purified. You ever go to Kupat Cholim and they use alcohol for chitui, you understand, to cleanse something? Hoi goi chayte, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev said, a people, a nation that is so pure, Am Keved Avon, a people that it's so difficult for them to sin. Not that they are heavy with sin, it's so difficult for them to sin. Zera Mireim. Now the word Mireim can mean Ra or Rea, evil or friend. Zera Mireim. Children that are friends with one another. I don't remember the rest. Bonim Mashchisim, I don't know. Sons who destroy evil. Like, I don't know how to read that. If I beat my blame, I say, Ozu is Hashem, they forsook God. Give me a break, of course not. So there's a Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev approach, which is that yes, Yeshayahu is speaking out in terms that are so sharp, but we have to look at it from sort of quotation marks, the realistic point of view. A prophet who's giving Musar has to speak out in sharp terms. He has to magnify the sense of sin. Can a prophet come along and say, you know, it's really not nice. According to the Rambam, what you're doing is awesome. The Rabbanan, according to the Ramban, it may not be a nice minhag. You know, you can't come along and be wishy-washy when you want to give Musa. When you give Musa, you have to speak out in sharp, strong terms. But not that he means that they are so sinful. They're heavy and laden with sin. And in general, that happens to be one of my approaches to Tanakh. You can't really read the Psukim in Tanakh and be left with the picture that we're talking about a people of such evil. The worst Rishoyim in the world. Somehow or other, the Reb Levi Yitzchak Mibarditchev approach has got to come into the picture. So now it's Tavshin Samachay, And I'm learning the first chapter in Yeshayahu again. And I have difficulty taking the Reb Levi Yitzchok Mibarditchev approach. How do you like that? The first time in my life. The first time in my life I have difficulty taking that approach. The first time I get a feeling that maybe we have to take a closer look at ourselves, and maybe not everything is good. Maybe something is rotten here. Maybe we do have serious problems that require our attention, and that we cannot simply sweep them under the rug in the rose-colored glasses of Ahavas Yisrael. I was at a convention of rabbis this past Shabbos, a few-day convention. So there was one rabbi who got up there, and I say this is one of those instances where the angels of heaven jumped for joy that I remained silent. You understand? That I remained silent. Because I don't like to remain silent, but I saw that there's nobody home, there's really nobody to talk to. And he was talking about Ahavas Yisrael, you understand, this misunderstood Cookian approach of Ahavas Yisrael. Like, always love them. Always love them. By the way, I don't think they understand Rav Kook altogether. What do you mean, always love them? Always Ahavas Yisrael? I don't know, I'm saying a lot of Tillim these days. I suggest you take a little closer look at Tillim. There are 30, 40, 50 chapters, kapitlach, where David HaMelech speaks out against those who surround him, those who attack him, those who are opposed to him, those who hate him. And he has very, very sharp terminology to use. The Bnei Shalom, take care of these fellas. I don't see David HaMelech making his way through Tillim with love, love, love. And I'll tell you, this misplaced and misguided love sounds very Christian to me. In other words, there is a time for love. Shlomo HaMelech said, Eis le'ehov ve'eis le'snow. There's a time to love and there's a time to hate. If I'm being attacked by somebody, if I feel that I'm being put upon by somebody, I have to love him. That's mummish. That's Christian. Maybe I should give him the other cheek. You want Beit El or Frank Sagot? Take that too. Be my guest. It's not so. Ahavas Yisrael has its limits. And watch, you understand? I'm talking about Eit Le'ahov, the Eit Le'snow, when we were a few days before Tisha B'Av, and Bayit Sheni was Chorev, was destroyed. Everybody knows Bayit Sheni was Chorev because of Sinas Chinam. So we have to understand, Sinas Chinam means sinner for no good reason. But sometimes you can have a good reason for sinner. How do you like that? It's not a perfect world. It's not a perfect world. There are times that there's good reason for hatred. So I have difficulty with this haftarah. But then again, of course, the end is going to be that I don't have difficulty with it. I'm pained by it. But Yeshayahu is certainly going to be talking about the manifestation of real evil. And there is such a thing. There is real evil. In fact, I'm just whatever I say, I'm afraid that I'll never get to the Haftorah. That's what's bothering me. When one takes a look at the stories, the famous stories of the Churban, that the Gemara brings in Masechet Gittin, everybody knows the beginning, the first story. Because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza, Chorva Yerushalayim. Because of Kamtza and Bar Kamtza. And the Gemara says, the story, Ahu Gavra, there was a person, Derachamei Kamtza, his friend was Kamtza, and the one who he was at odds with was Bar Kamtza. celebrate a party. He sent his servant to invite Kamsa. Servant made a tragic mistake and invited Bar Kamsa. Bar Kamsa most probably thinks that he's being invited to this party because this fellow wants bygones to be bygones. He comes to the party. The fellow who's throwing the bash sees Bar Kamsa, his arch foe there. He goes ballistic, you understand? And he says, you know, Bar Kamsa, raus. So Bar Kamsa is very, very embarrassed. He said, listen, let me sit here. I'll pay for what I eat. I'll pay for whatever I eat. I'll pay for half of the whole Suda. Just don't embarrass me. Gedolei Yerushalayim, I'll sit again. No, out. So he tells him, I'll pay for everything. Throws him out. Unceremoniously he throws him out. And the fact is that there were great rabbis who were sitting there, and the silence was deafening. This is a terrible story. This is a terrible, terrible story. Now the Gemara is telling us this story. The Gemara is telling us this story. For such kind of sin, you understand, Yerushalayim is charev. The rest of the story we know. Bar Kamsa decides that he's going to go to Rome and tell Rome that Jews have rebelled, and then there's the whole story. Rome doesn't believe it. Caesar doesn't believe it. So Bar Kamsa says, let me bring a sacrifice on your behalf to the Beit HaMikdash. Let's see if they're going to take it and sacrifice it or not. So yes, he gives him an animal to take as a sacrifice. On the way, Bar Kamsa makes a little slit in the eyelid. And when they bring it to Yerushalayim, a slit in the eyelid, a cut over here, makes a sacrifice unacceptable in the Beit HaMikdash. By Goyim, on their altars, it may be brought, but not here. So then, of course, the terrible problem arises. What are we supposed to do? So then, of course, the story becomes even more serious. There was a man by the name of Zechariah ben Afkilos. Now, what's fascinating in the Gemara is, first they say, let's sacrifice it. Let's bring the sacrifice. All right, we're not permitted to bring it on the Mizbeach. But listen, Klal Yisrael, there's grave danger for all of Klal Yisrael. Pikuach nefesh. So Rav Zechariah ben Afkilos said, you know, this is going to be a terrible precedent. People are going to think that you can bring a blemished animal on the altar. So they said, let's kill Bar Kamsa. Let's kill him so he can't go back. You understand? The danger is that great that they raised the possibility, let's just kill him. We're not talking about a bunch of bloodthirsty people. And Rav Zechariah ben Afkilos says, no, that's going to be a terrible precedent. The precedent that's going to be set is that if somebody makes a blemish in a sacrifice, the punishment is death. We can't do that. So then comes the unbelievable statement of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan said, "On the Tanuto shall Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkilos." I don't know whether to. Most probably, translation should be his humility. But "on the Tanuto" is a little bit more than humility. Here I think it's being used in a very negative sense. Humility can be a very, very positive, character trait. Moshe Rabbeinu was on of me, owed me, kol hadam. He was the most humble person on the face of this earth. The Gemara says about God himself, anved natanuto shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the humility of God. But over here, Rabbi Yochanan says, the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkilos, hechariva et beitainu, destroyed our house, v'sorfa et heichalenu, and it caused that our portal, the Beit HaMikdash, should be burned, v'higlitanu me'artzenu, and sent us into exile out of our land. I mean, that's quite an indictment. What an indictment of Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkilos. What an indictment. My son Menachem from Afula once pointed out, very fascinating Rashi. Was it last week, the 900th yahrzeit of Rashi? Choftez, birth or yahrzeit? Choftez, yahrzeit, Choftez Tammuz. Rashi says on the word am v'netanuto, the humility of Rabbi Zechariah ben Afkilos, Savlanuto.
Savlanuto, his patience, and listen to what Rashi continues by saying. Now, Rashi could say one of two things, that Rav Zechariah ben Avkilas was so patient with this Bar Kamsa, who wants to bring us down, he should have let the sacrifice be brought. Rashi could also say he was so patient with this fellow, Bar Kamsa, that he didn't kill him. Which does Rashi choose? Rashi says, Savlanuto, the patience of Rav Zechariah ben Avkilas, Shesoval Etzeh, that he was able to tolerate this Bar Kamsa, Velo Harago, and didn't kill him. Hear what Rashi is saying? It's clear which option should have been taken. This man is endangering the entire Jewish people. He's a rodev. He's a pursuer. Rashi has made an awesome statement. And don't ask me why, but in the middle of the night, you understand, I don't know, I got up and I started reading all sorts of stuff. And one of them was an article about Rashi, that Rashi was fearless. Rashi took positions, and he brings different places. And I think this is one of the... doesn't bring this, but I hear this is a Rashi where Rashi has taken a clear position, unafraid. He should have killed Bar Kamsa. He is placing the Jewish people in grave danger. And I could imagine this rabbi who spoke on Shabbos to the convention would have said, Avas Yisrael, love Bar Kamsa. Anachnu ohavim otcha Bar Kamsa. Of course there's no such thing. Of course it's nonsense. The Lo Harago, he didn't kill him. He should have killed him. Avas Yisrael does not always operate. Boy, you're going to come out of this year. This guy is so full of hate, this bitter guy. I'm not bitter. I still like some people. that he was able to tolerate him, v'lo harago, and he didn't kill him. One will see that all of the stories that the Gemara brings from beginning to the end of the stories, 2-3 blot later, are all in the realm of Bein Odom L'Chavero. There is no place where it says that the Churban came because Jews were Mechalel Shabbos. And if somebody is going to tell you that there's a Gemara in Shabbos, Lo Chorfo Yerushalayim, Ela Al Shechilulu Bas HaShabbos, that's talking about the city of Yerushalayim being razed to the ground after the Churban. Churban came only because of the relationship between men and fellow men that had broken down. There's an awesome story at the end. Maybe I'll get there right away. But there's a fascinating question that's asked by the Maharal. Everybody knows the beginning of the Gemara. The Gemara, I just read it. Because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Pray tell me, why is Kamsa's name here? Kamsa is the fellow that never got the invitation. He's the good friend who never got the invitation. What the Gemara should have said is, because of Bar Kamsa, the fellow who was invited and was thrown out and went to Rome, because of him the Churban came. What does it have to do with poor Kamsa? Poor Kamsa is an innocent bystander. I believe it's the Maharal who says, Kamsa is not an innocent bystander. If your best friend in the world is going to make a chasada, and you didn't get an invitation, all right, there are a number of ways to react. One way, it's clear they push it, there must have been a mistake. It may have been in the mailbox, it fell out. The mailman pusher put it into a different mailbox. So one of two things are cool. Yankel, you didn't get an invitation. What are you talking about? You're my best friend. Of course, it must have been a terrible mistake. I'm so sorry. There's another approach. The other approach is, this guy's my friend. Afghans thing, you sit around the house for about 2-3 weeks before the wedding, and you start building up the, this is a friend. When he needed money, I lent him money. His wife had to go to the hospital, I drove them. The tevis that I've been doing for him for the last 40 years, you understand? And this is the way he repays me. He doesn't invite me to his wedding. By the time the wedding comes, rolls around, you understand, that there's going to be an explosion like the world. If cancer would have been a real friend, he would have one of two things. Most probably would have said, whoever Yankel is, I don't know who, whoever made the party, Yankel, I didn't get an invitation. The halachic fact is that if you feel that you've been slighted by somebody, advertently, inadvertently, you're supposed to tell them. You open up your mouth. You're opening your mouth. So Kamsa should have said, Yanko, I didn't get an invitation. You didn't get an invitation. I sent my servant personally to give you an invitation. Everybody else has sent invitations in the mail. But you have sent my servant. That's what it says. Yanko, servant didn't get here. Call in that servant. You went and invited Bar Kamsa. Oh God, he comes to this party. That's going to be the end of my party. Go tell him not to come. No, something would have, something could have avoided it if Kamsa would have been a real friend. That's why the Gemara is so careful and beautifully says, because of Kamsa and Bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. Before I give you the last story, we've got to learn a few psukim and you'll see what it's, just hang on, seatbelts, we're going. Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amos, the vision of Yeshayahu the son of Amos, Asher Chozo, that he saw Yehuda of Yerushalayim, about Yehuda and Yerushalayim in the days of four kings, Uzziyahu, Yotam, Achaz, and Yechizkiyahu, Malchei Yehuda, the kings of Yehuda. Shimu Shamayim, we say it to the, on Shabbos, it's going to be said to the Nigan of Eicha. Shimu Shamayim Vazini Aretz. Listen, O heavens, and hear, O earth, Ki Hashem Diber, because God has spoken, Bonim Gidalti Romamti, I raised sons, and I uplifted them, Behem Pashubi, and they have rebelled against me. Yad Asher Konehu, the ox knows the one who has purchased him, the Chamor, Evuz Ba'olav, and the donkey knows Evuz Ba'olav. He knows the trough of his owner who feeds him. He knows where his bread is buttered. But Yisrael lo yada, Israel did not know, Ami lo hidbonan, and my people have not pondered. Figure out where does all the good that we have come from? And therefore comes the great cry. And we're not going to read it like Rav Levi Yitzchak Mibaditchev. Not today. Hay goy choyte, woe, you sinning, sinful nation, a people weighed down by iniquity, am kevet avon, zera mireim, destructive children, bonim, zera mireim, offspring of evil, bonim ashchisim, ozvet Hashem, a forsaken God, niyatsuet kedosh Yisrael, they have angered the Holy One of Israel, no zoru echor, they've turned backwards. And I don't know what more to do. God says, Almet tuku, wherever I smite you, O tosifu soro, you continue to turn away from me. Kol rosh lecholi, every head is sick. V'chol levav davoy, and every heart is in pain. Mikafrego from the bottom of one's feet, vadrosh einbom until the head, nothing is complete. Pets of chabura umako teriya. All sorts of wounds, an open wound, a closed wound, a wound that's gushing, lo zoru, velo chubashu, velo rukha b'shemen, and nothing has been done, it hasn't been medicated, and it hasn't been wrapped, and it hasn't been washed or softened with oil. And you know what the end is going to be? I can see it already, he says. Artzuchem shimama, your land is desolate. Orechem surufotesh, your cities are been burned in fire, Admatchem, and there's your land, Lenegdechem, it's right there opposite you, and Zorim Ochlamota, there are strangers, foreigners, have moved in over there. Ushmamon, it is now desolate, Kimaha Pechat Zorim, like an Ibe Kerenish, overturned by by strangers. The notar of Bat Zion, Kisuka Bechoran, Bat Zion, Yerushalayim, is going to remain like a sukkah. A sukkah is a temporary watchman's booth in a kerem, in a vineyard, kimeluno b'miksha, like a shed b'miksha in a garden where kishuim are grown, ki'ir netzura, like a city under siege. So while the city is under siege, the besieging army builds some kind of a tent city around, and then when the siege is lifted or the siege is over, there's a ghost town. That's what Yerushalayim is going to look like. Lule Hashem Tzvakot Hosir Lanu Sarid Kimat, would not God have left over a little bit of a remnant? Kestom Hayinu L'Amora D'Minu, we would have been like stone, we would have been likened to Amora, the destruction would have been total. Nevuah 1 of Yeshayahu. There is a great deal of discussion whether this is in fact the first Nevuah, because one who studies chapter 6, which is the Haftorah for Parashat Yitro, seems to be that Parak 6 is the first Nevuah of Yeshayahu, where he sees God and he sees the heavenly throne and the angels flying around, Kadosh, Kadosh, Kadosh. But this is already a matter that's open to question. Most probably chapter 6 is the opening chapter to Yeshayahu. But in this chapter, we're going to find the message of all of Sefer Yeshayahu. If you want it all summed up, it's in this chapter. Everything that's going to come afterwards is going to be the commentary on this chapter. Listen to the word of God, you officers of Sodom. Hear the Torah of God, the people of Amora. And here, another one, this is the next few psukim can be a shir all of on their own. Yeshayahu, it would seem, is going to speak out against sacrifice, against animal sacrifice. He never meant it. That's never what he said. What he's saying is, you cannot serve me with sacrifice in the Beth HaMikdash while your personal conduct is beneath contempt. The two don't inhabit the same atmosphere. You can't do that. You can't be a Rosha in business and be a Shaina Yid in the Beth HaMikdash. You can't be a terrible neighbor and come in and bring sacrifices, cry your eyes out, you understand? Can't do that. Unacceptable. What do I need all of your many sacrifices? Savate, I'm sated with olot elim v'chelev mireyim. I'm sated by all of the fats of the animals that you bring before me, the tamborim, kvasim, vatudim, lochafotzti, and the blood of the bulls and the sheep and the he goats. I don't want it. Ki tavole ra'ot panai, when you come to see my face, you come to the Beit HaMikdash. Mi pikesh zot mi yetchem ramos chatzere. Who asked this of you that you should trample my courtyard? God doesn't want Jews to come to the Beit HaMikdash. Shalosh tovim v'ashona, yeirah kol zechurcha. 3 times a year we're supposed to come. What he's saying is, if you conduct yourself in a way that's evil, then don't do me a favor. Don't aggravate me. I don't need you to come and act pious before me in the temple. Lo tosifu havi minchat shav ketora toevo hili. Don't bring to me any meal offering that's for naught, and incense that's an abomination. Chodesh v'shabbos kro mikra. Keeping Rosh Chodesh and keeping Shabbos, keeping all of the Yom Tovim, I don't need it. Lo uchal oven v'atzorah. I cannot take the two of them together. Oven is sin, and atzorah is the gathering to serve God. By the way, what you already get over here is a picture. They did keep Shabbos. They kept Yontif. They kept Rosh Chodesh. They brought sacrifices. Their conduct in terms of their fulfillment of mitzvahs is not something that Yeshayahu is speaking out against. In other words, in the Bein Odom LaMakom, in the relationship between God and man, I'm sure that they everything was fine.
Chodsheichem u'mo'adeichem sono nafshi. My soul hates your Rosh Chodesh and Yom Tov. M'hoyu alay l'torach. They push it a tirch for me. It's trouble. Nil 18 is so. I'm exhausted of carrying all of your shiny Yom Tov. U'b'foreschem kapeichem. And when you stretch out your hands, alim einayim, can you stretch out your hands to pray before me? I will not look at you. Gam ki tarbu tfilo, even when you daven a great deal, einani shomea, I don't listen to you. Yedeichem domim maleyu, your hands are full with blood. That means they're doing everything. They're doing everything. Yedeichem domim maleyu, I don't really believe that it means. He doesn't really mean that they're murderers or they're killers. I don't know. I have a feeling Yedeichem domim aleihu. For 40 years you've been talking about the problem of traffic accidents and nothing happens. Nothing happens. More energy, more money, and more effort is expended on so many other things. An expanded cabinet, removing Jews from their homes. How long do you continue to talk about accidents on the road and don't really do what has to be done? That's your Yedeichem domim aleihu. That's your Yedeichem domim aleihu. And who knows how many other examples there can be of where there isn't really some of the problems that have been coming up in with hospitals and surgeons. Shomu shamayim also. Yes.
I'm just wondering if that also means
I was going to get to that next. That's perfect. We have a completely different standard for spilling blood to embarrass somebody publicly. Is considered by Torah akin to murder. Yeah, absolutely right. Yedeichem domim aleihu. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? I don't want to, you know, I don't want to sound like Satan himself, but how many political figures have been maligned? You understand, maligned and brought to court, and then it's a year later after the fellow that you wipe the floor with him. You understand? Then you find out that there was he was innocent of all charges. They've been using it here as a tool to get rid of good people. It's unbelievable. Well, you know, I never learned this chapter this way. It's, but I think it all goes to there's a famous Rashbam and Einikol of Rashi at the beginning of Parashas Vayeshev in Bereshis. Beautiful. It's a powerful thing. Needs a shir or two of its own. He says that he used to talk to his Zayde Rashi about his Perish on Chumash, and that his Perish on Chumash should have included more pshat, and pshat on the basis of what happens in the world. How do you like that? And he says that the Zayde told him if he would have time and kayach, he would write another Perish on Chumash. I think we have enough to handle with the just to understand the Rashi that we have, great Rebbe. But sort of, you're the same pasuk, you could read it one day, and it has one effect on you. You read it another time, completely different. Weiter. Ah, here there's a great Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon over here is amazing parish. So Yeshayahu tells them what to do. Rachatsu, wash yourselves. Hizaku, purify yourselves. Hosiru roa ma'al aleichem mineged einai, remove the evil of your doing from before my eyes. Chidlu horeya, stop doing evil. Lindu, now that means like this. The first pasuk has been a description of sur meida, turn away from evil. Ah. Now we're going to come to Asei Tov. Lindu Heitev, study well. Or learn how to do good. Dirshu Mishpat, seek justice. Ashru Chamotz, make good chamotz, that which has been stolen, somebody lost something, somebody's been robbed of something. Shiftu yasom, judge the judge properly, justice for the orphan. Rivu almana, take up the cause of the widow. Vilna Gaon says, Rachapsu hizaku, 1, 2, hasiru roam al lechem mineged einai, 3, chidlu harea, 4, limdu heitev, 5, dirshu mishpat, 6, ashru chamot, 7, shiftu yasom, 8, rivu almono, 9, and then number 10 is lechuna v'ni vachacha. Let's go and reason together. He says these two psukim represent the aseret yemei tshuva. Lechuna v'ni vachacha is Yom Kippur. And take a look. After you've gone through the process of surmeira, you have begun the process of asei tov, then on that 10th day you stand before God. And the chunovin ivachacha, Yomer Hashem, says God, Im yil chataechem kashonim, kashelo yalbinu. If your sins are going to be red, they will become white like snow. Im yadimu katola, if they will be crimson, katsemeyu, they will be white like wool. The 10th is the day of kaparas avonis, the day of atonement, the day of forgiveness. Im tovu ushmatem, if you will and you will listen, tovu haaretz tochelu, you will eat the good of the earth. Im tamanu medisam, and if you will refuse and rebel, chedev tooklu, you will be consumed by the sword. Ki pi Hashem diber, so says God. Eicha hoisol izona, what a difficult pasuk. There will be an eicha in the sedra, in Parshas Devarim by Sheni, the word eicha. There will be Eicha in the Haftarah, and then there's going to be Eicha Meitzai Shabbos. Eicha Haisalazona Kirya Namana. How has the faithful city become a city of harlots? Betrayal. Harlotry is betrayal. Mileati Mishpat, a city that was once full of justice. Tzedek Yolinpa. Justice would live in that city, and now Midatzchem. Murder. Kaspe choyolasigim, soveich mahul bamayim. Your silver is sigim. It has all sorts of impurities. It's not pure silver. Soveich mahul bamayim. Your wine is mixed with water. You know what that mixed with water? You know what that means? Somebody buys wine. He's not getting wine, but it's okay. It's not bad because he pays with silver. That's not silver. The seller is a ganif, and the buyer is a ganif. They're both ganavim. Sorayich sodanim. Now it's getting more difficult. Your ministers are rebellious. Chavrei ganavim kulo ala abonch ganavim. Ohev shochad, love graft. Rodev shalmonim. They pursue payoffs. Yosom lo yishpotu, they don't judge the orphan. The div almana lo yavol aleihem, and the problem of the almana does not come to them. Do you understand? These are the operative psukim. They're all talking about the relationship bein adam lechavera, bein adam lechavera. There's something else. It's not only disengagement that's on my mind. When there's a report issued on Thursday by this world organization that as far as poor government and corruption, Israel is at the bottom of the world list. Do you understand? Do you know what it meant to me when I heard that on the radio, that I read it the next day? What a chilul Hashem. A world knows that we're riddled with corruption over here. corruption in every level of government. Kulo ohev shochad. The Haaretz has a business magazine, and they—I very rarely read it, but I don't know something. What did they say? In Holland or someplace else, they give an example. You can complete the purchase of a property in one day. One day. They begin to describe what a path, a painful path, one has to go through to buy a shtickle property or an apartment in Eretz Yisrael. If they can do it in Holland in one day, why can't we do it in 1 month? I'd be happy with 1 month. And they say that that's a big reason why a lot of companies in the world don't want to do business here. They can do business in a lot of other places in the world with a greater degree of ease. With a greater degree of ease without the necessity to pay off so many people. I'm saying this with terrible, terrible pain, but sometimes you have to open up your eyes. Yeshayahu knew what he was talking about. Zechilul Hashem. I mean, I'm a citizen of this country. I'm not happy about something of this sort. And there are no problems with what these fools over here call the demokratia. What demokratia? Who demokratia? They don't know what they're talking about. How many times have I said, I needed something done on Long Island. I knew exactly who to call. My Catholic congressman. And do you know what kind of service I got from my Catholic congressman? What do you thought? Rabbi this and rabbi that. I used to get more covered from my Catholic congressman than I get from anybody here. He knew that he represents me and my community. If I need something, I don't know. I don't have a clue who to call in this government. Who am I going to call? I don't have anybody. Nobody has anybody. This is demokratia. What are you doing? The boys in the back rooms are going to go ahead and decide who's going to be our next prime minister. Tell you another thing that bothers me. You know, this is... I haven't been in shul for the last 3 weeks. I had different events. It's the longest time I've been away from shul for Shabbos. Been there during the week. So I don't have anybody to get out my base hearts, you understand? I have to get it off my chest. I was watching one thing, the Netanyahu resignation. Every conceivable fashlugging a reason why he did it and why he did it now. I was looking for one article where somebody would deal with the most substantive statement that he made. It's going to turn into a base for terrorism. Did anybody debate it? Did anybody talk about it? Did anybody say the man doesn't know what he's talking about? In other words, the substance hasn't been debated by anybody. The substance of anything that's going on here has not been debated by anybody. A government is going ahead to do something that's going to cause the greatest Chilul Hashem in the history of the state of Israel. Beginning next week, there are going to be billions of people that are going to watch TV every night to watch Jews being torn out of their homes by fellow Jews. It's going to be a chagigah for anti-Semites world over. It's going to be the biggest bazillion we've ever lived through. There's no Imelech. And nobody debated it. Nowhere. No forum. Nothing. I would have thought that a man says, I am resigning because I'm convinced that this is going to turn into a base of international terrorism that is going to endanger the very heartland of Eretz Yisrael. That should have been an issue. I didn't find it. He does it, of course. I finally found out. There's something I never knew. Something I never knew. The Haaretz always speaks about the Yamin HaKitzoni, the extreme right. Now, I never knew where to put myself. Am I Yamin Kitzoni? Am I Yamin Merkazi? Am I Yamin Smoli? I don't know where I belong. I don't know where I belong. And then I got it the morning after the resignation. So the title of the editorial is Manhig LeYamin HaKitzoni. There's a leader now for the extreme right, Benjamin Netanyahu. That means, of course, now I finally understood. Anybody who's a millimeter to the right of Haaretz is Yamin Kitzoni. I would have expected that there should be real, honest-to-goodness, open debate. Let's hear the whole story. Freedom to every general to express his professional opinion. Open it up. But no, that's not it. Everybody's concerned about their job, their grift. What Yeshayahu would do if he would be living here now? Money. Oh, yes, he'd be in jail. Or in Gush Katif. If I know him, boy, he'd make his way into Gush Katif. But that's what it is. It's very sick. It's very painful. Kiryat Ne'emana. We're talking about a city that was once a city of honesty and truth and faithfulness and has now turned into Zona. That's such a terrible, terrible thing to say. Terrible thing. I told my friends in the United States, whom I tried to arouse months and months ago, that they have to do something. When I saw that I failed with everybody, I told them all, just remember one thing. You won't know where to hide come the Ides of August. You won't know where to hide. You won't know where to take your busha. You are not going to be able to walk out in the streets with your heads high. You were able to do it after the Six-Day War and after Entebbe. You won't be able to do it anymore. It's going to be a busha. Unless, of course, you're eminently capable of going up to the mountains, you understand? Just take the thruway or old Highway 17 and hide away in your bungalow, shmungalow, and forget about it all. I don't know. So I tell you, this morning I said, boy, if I could just get away someplace. I don't know why. A farm in North Dakota. Is that far away? A farm in North Dakota. Let me read to you. We should what?
We should buy ourselves here.
Yeah, all right, right now, I don't happen to be in the mood now for self-blame. Right now, I'm just I'm interested in placing the blame on everybody else, you know? Listen to a frightening Gemara. We're not going to have enough time to analyze the Gemara fully. But this is the last story that the Gemara brings in the whole series of stories beginning with Kamsa and Bar Kamsa. All of the stories that say the Churban came because of this. As I told you, each one of them is a story being Odom Lechavero. Each one of them is a story of a terrible, terrible relationship between men and fellow men. Amrav Yudah Amrav, now you're going to have to hold on. It's an extremely painful piece of Gemara. Amrav Yudah Amrav, and it'll give you food for thought. You have to think it out and really analyze this piece of Gemara very well. What is meant what it says, a pasuk in Micha, they're going to rob a man and his house. They're going to steal a man and his inheritance. Everything. Rob a man of everything he has. This is the story. Story of a man, there was a man who put his eyes, that's a term that's used by the Gemara to describe a man began to lust for the wife of his master. V'shulya denagrahavi. He was an apprentice to a carpenter. The apprentice, misamein, the wife of his master. Tamachas. And you know, he bides his time. Once, hutzrach Rabbo Lilvos, his master had to borrow money. Amalo, so the apprentice said, you need money? Okay. Shagir ishtecha etzli, send your wife to me, va'alvena, and I will lend her the money. Shigir ishto etzlo, he sent his wife to him. Shoha imo shlosha yamim, he remained with her for 3 days. By the way, the term shoho, to remain with, is used other places in Talmud where it means that there was a real relationship now between the apprentice and the wife of the master. Kodam ubo etzlo, finally the husband wants to find out what happened to his wife, so he comes to his apprentice. Omalo, and he said to him, Ishti sheshigarti lecha, my wife that I sent to you, hey honey, where is she? Omalo, so he says to him, I really don't know. Ani patarti hala altar, I sent her away immediately. Veshamati, and I found out, shatinokot nit alulu ba baderech, that young people raped her on the way. Omalo, so the husband says, Ma Esa, what should I do? Amalo, so the apprentice said to him, Imato Shemea Latsosi, if you want to listen to my advice, Garsha, divorce her. Amalo, so the husband says, Ksuboso Meruba, the Ksuba is, it's a big Ksuba, I don't have the money to pay. Amalo, so the apprentice told him, Ani Alvecha, I'll lend you the money to pay the Ksuba. The 10 lo ksubas and give her the ksuba. Amad zed v'girsha. The master divorced his wife. Halachu v'nosa. The apprentice went and he married her. Kivin shehigiyaz mano. When the time came for the former husband to pay, he owed money to the apprentice. V'lo hayalo l'foro, and he didn't have money to pay. Amalo. So the apprentice said, Bo, come to my house, vasei imi b'chovach, and work for me, and you'll work off the debt. For hayuhem yoshvim v'ochlim v'shosim, he saw the two of them eating and drinking, the former wife and his apprentice. For hu hayomedu mashka alehen, and he stood over them and he served. V'hayudemoos noshros me'enov, and tears ran down from his eyes. The noflos pekosehen, and fell into the cups from which they were drinking. Bal ota sha'ah, and about that hour, at that moment, nitchatein gzar din, the decree for the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash, was made at that moment. What a story. What a story. You have to think about the story. You think about the story, you're going to find out that there isn't one person here who is guilty, the apprentice. There are three people that are guilty. The apprentice, the wife, and the husband. The apprentice is quite clear. Man planned it all in advance. Planned it all. The wife, of course, is the one who, with a great deal of ease, is able to betray her husband. Ah, so you can say there may be good reason why she betrays him. Let's stop and think, what do you think the relationship was between the husband and the wife? He hears that she's been gang raped. Do we hear him cry out in pain? Where is she? I want to find her. I want to do something. Maybe she's bleeding. Maybe she's hurt. We don't know. What should I do? What should I do? What do you mean, what should you do? He says, divorce her. What's his only worry? I don't have the money for the ksuba. Then the evil, the insensitivity of each one of the act. I'll tell you, I don't know how anybody could have ever made up a story. This is an awesome story. I tell you, I've only touched the very tip of the iceberg here. Every step, every line in this Gemara has to be studied carefully. Insensitivity, values that are all messed up. no sense of faithfulness on anybody's part to anybody else. The unfaithfulness begins with this apprentice, whatever he is in life, is because the master made him what he is. And then he goes, does the word appreciation or understanding enter into this story at any point whatsoever? It's all evil. It's all terrible evil that man is capable of doing to fellow man. I'll tell you, maybe the only good thing feminists will find in this story is that the husband gave her a get. Can you imagine yet if the husband wouldn't have given her a get? All right. It's a terrible story. It's a terrible story. And the terrible story is all the result of people being absolutely unfeeling. Nobody has feelings here. The only person who has any kind of feeling is the apprentice who feels lust. That's all. Nobody else has feelings. Nobody else has feelings. And what it really means is that everybody really remains silent. The wife remains absolutely silent. From her, you don't hear a word. She's the only one who doesn't say a word. The whole conversation over here is taking place between the master and the apprentice. Does she have nothing to say? She remains silent throughout? I mean, is she also acquiescing to be no more than an object between the two of them? There's no human feeling. There's no outcry. There's no outcry. There are moments in history, I'm talking about not only history, but in the life of human beings, there has to be a moment of rage, a moment of outrage, a moment at which you set aside this mealy-mouthed, neo-Cookian Avas Yisrael that Rav Kook never ever meant. Never ever meant it. He wrote, and I've told it to you in the past, he wrote in 1905 exactly what secular Zionism was going to become. He said that they are Yehudim mi-bachutz, a little, the outside is Jewish, a little Avos Eretz Yisrael, a little Hebrew, a little Heen, a little Heb, but kuloi goy mi-bifnim. That's what he writes. Rav Kook, the great lover, lover of Israel. And that a few generations down the line, the word that he uses, they will turn into a mifletzet, a monster of sinas Yisrael, sinas Eretz Yisrael, and sinas Torah Yisrael. There are so many segments of our community that have not expressed outrage. There are so many segments in of our community that have remained absolutely silent. That silence